You're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast, and we've got Jay Coonan from the Anti-Poverty Centre here to talk to us about something that's really quite disturbing. We've been following this issue for a long time. We thought that when the Labor government got in that we would see the back of cashless debit card. Can you explain to my listeners what the cashless debit card is and was and is, Jay?
Yeah, good morning. So the cashless debit card quarantines people's payments who are on Social Security, and it takes a certain percentage of that onto the card, and then a small percentage, about 20%, puts it into their respective bank account. And this has been primarily targeted at, you know, First Nations communities in the Northern Territory, Queensland, and under the coalition, they expanded it to certain areas in Ceduna, in the Goldfields and WA, and in the Pilbara region. And when the Labor government came into power in 2022, they ran on a platform where they said that they would make it voluntary, the cashless debit card voluntary. So that led a lot of people to believe that income management as a whole would cease to exist. However, that was certainly not the case, as we have seen this week.
Yeah, well, the cashless debit card process was coercive. It also was run outsourced to a private company, Indu. Yeah. Does Indu still exist?
Indu certainly still does exist. So another part of the platform that Labor ran on was getting the private sector out of, you know, the social security system, particularly around cashless welfare. And, you know, a lot of their supporters and even Labor themselves referred to it as the Indu card. Now, through this process, what they've done with the cashless debit card is they have ended that. However, what they've replaced it with is called the Enhanced Income Management card. And Indu is still involved in that process. They were awarded a contract in order to, you know, help the government print the cards and work on the digital, the payment infrastructure. However, what the government did is took the phone services off Indu and gave it to Services Australia. But Indu still has a large stake in this and was recently awarded a contract for it, so they haven't removed them at all.
Yeah, and the issues, we'll go through this before we get to what actually has happened on the 22nd of June in Parliament with their present legislation, because what was happening, and people should remember that there was always a capacity for people to voluntarily ask to have their income be managed because they may have had issues that made it impossible for them to be self-managing. That's correct, right?
Yes, that is correct. People could voluntarily enter the card if they so choose, but, you know, those voluntary take-ups were very, very small.
Yeah, that's right, as you'd expect. Yeah, as you'd expect. And so, you know, it's an altruistic sort of support mechanism, right? But what we're looking at with the cashless debit card, it targeted Indigenous communities unfairly, correct?
Yeah, it certainly did. Because in 2007, the Basics card, which is being transitioned now to the Enhanced Income Management card through this bill, was set up in 2007 under, which was, you know, I think it was the anniversary for the NTE this week. It was set up in order to specifically manage the social security payments of First Nations people. And the cashless debit card, which the coalition introduced, is just a hangover from that as well.
Yeah, and it had a whole lot of, there were a whole lot of lies attached. I mean, it was quite racist in the sense that they were saying that it was in order to protect children so that they got food on the table and da-da-da-da. But then finding that people who had no children were also having their card, their income quarantined.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the conditions is somebody who is on a long-term on a social security payment qualifies to be placed onto the card. And now, you know, for somebody who, you know, might have a disability, unrecognized, who's on, you know, been on a, you know, a working age payment or a job seeker, for example, for a long period of time, would be placed on the card. And that's, you know, so based off of, you know, labour market discrimination and social discrimination against, you know, disabilities, people are just ending up on this card, and they're being refused, you know, access to their own finances because of it. It is just a broadly discriminatory program targeted at First Nations communities, but anybody else who is within its capture, whether it's in Shepparton or Blacktown in New South Wales, who, you know, is discriminated against for a variety of other reasons, is also, you know, targeted by this program.
Now, this is a pittance. So what we're talking about is a direct classist attack on poor people for being poor. I went to a thing last night where it was pointed out that in Australia, the lucky country, the social security payments in Australia are just above or just hovering above Russia and Albania.
Yeah, we have one of in terms of where Australia's payments sit, like particularly among the, you know, economic, you know, biggest economies in the world, we have the lowest, pretty much. And, you know, obviously in the last budget, the government did increase them by the smallest of amounts. But that's still, you know, we're still amongst the lowest in the world. So the issue with the card as well is all people on social security payments, not that they're bad with their money, it's that they just don't have enough money. And obviously that issue is now, you know, just rapidly growing because we're seeing rent just skyrocket. The cost of living is, you know, exceeding, you know, people on, you know, waged income. It's exceeding their capacity. So people who are on, you know, $300 a week, it's just totally unlivable. And it is at a crisis point, but, you know, a lot of people in Parliament just don't understand or respect, you know, the crisis for what it is.
And we're going to cover some past ground, because people who are on very low incomes become very good at, and I mean, I'm not even talking about people, I can't even go to the people who have got children and responsibilities for other people. That's just heartbreaking. But become very good at managing, right? And so what it means is that by quarantining the money, the very small amounts of money, they can't go to second-hand dealers, they can't go and, you know, like, they have a great deal of problems with renting places because they're not in control of the amount of money that they've got, or its flow, that sort of stuff. It's quite a criminal burden that's being placed on people.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that was one of the biggest issues that people were reporting under the cashless debit card, was that, you know, their rental payments were coming out late. They weren't able to manage their money as easily when it came to, you know, paying for their rent on time, and even contacting the company to try and resolve some of these issues, try and have more of their quarantine income released in order to have access to cash to pay for certain things like white goods. You know, it just wasn't possible because they were like, well, no, you can't do that. And it's another thing that, you know, maybe not a lot of people in city areas think about too often, but cash is, you know, a lot more important in a lot of regional and rural areas where, you know, some of that digital infrastructure hasn't caught up, particularly with the expansion of this program, is that it didn't reach a lot of, you know, businesses. So certain markets or, you know, school FAPE, for example, was another big one that we heard, you know, people heard from parents, is that they weren't able to have the cash to, you know, buy fruits and vegetables from markets, or when they'd go for a family outing, you know, they would have to refuse their kids, who, you know, kids don't, you know, understand what is going on. So they would become obviously upset and angry that they couldn't, you know, get like a you know, a sausage roll or something, and cause a scene. And it was obviously very embarrassing and emotionally traumatizing for the people who were subjected to it.
It's also ghettoizing, isn't it? Especially in country areas. I mean, people are so aware of people's economic principles, and it's what it's doing is enforcing the notion that being poor makes you a different type of person.
Yeah, it certainly does. Like, I mean, the thing that underpins this is in a 2020 Senate debate, Lydia Thorpe pointed out that particularly its targeting of First Nations communities, just the return to the rations program that existed, in the early to mid 20th century. And in a form, it is a form of income rationing. It is exactly that.
Yeah, it's disgraceful.
And it's predicated on being a racist program. And after the Basics Card in 2007, the next iteration that came about under Tony Abbott was recommended by none other than Andrew Forrest, whose interest is in, you know, dispossessing, you know, First Nations communities of their land for mineral extraction.
It's outrageous.
You know, it is just a blatant tool in the armory of colonization. And I think that, you know, and that's just its purpose. And we're seeing that continue under the Labor government, who claim that they'd be making it voluntary.
So tell us what happened on June the 22nd. Now that we've covered the ground of the past, I was so shocked when I read the release, and I would really like to understand why the Anti-Poverty Centre is so aggrieved.
Yeah, look, prior to the election, when Labor were running on a campaign of making it voluntary, we were only one of the few groups who pointed out that their policy, their party policy, was not to make income management as a whole voluntary, and that it would continue under them. And, you know, we were, you know, told that we were wrong. We were slightly attacked over it and basically lied to when we raised any issues with it.
What, so, you're just party poopers?
Yeah, we certainly are a bunch of party poopers.
You're a bunch of party poopers.
So when the election rolled around, and one of the first bills that the government put forward was to end the cashless debit card, which, you know, great. So those communities...
Well, it's fantastic,
In Ceduna, in the Goldfields, and in the Pilbara, for example, those sites ended immediately with the transition of that bill, and they were allowed to, you know, go off the card. And as they found, I think it was upwards of 90% or more left the card. And there was only literally a handful, based on Senate estimate numbers, of people who chose to remain on the card in those sites. But what they didn't do when they ended the cashless debit card is end the Basics card, which, you know, as you might remember mentioning, that started in 2007. So that's focused predominantly in the Northern Territory and Cape York, and then small locations in Shepparton and Black Pound, for example. That was to continue. So, you know, we called them out and said, well, you know, if you're claiming that you're going to make it voluntary, you need to do this. But, you know, that's the thing. They never said that they were going to make income management voluntary. And we knew that they were not going to make income management voluntary. So they technically didn't lie when they said that, you know, they would end the cashless debit card, which they did, but they kept income management in form in those places. So, you know, fast forward to this week, the bill that they've put forward is to transition the Basics card into a new enhanced income management, which has all the same qualities as the cashless debit card, but it's run by Services Australia and not run by an outsourced company. However, the outsourced company is designing all the infrastructure for the enhanced income management card. And so this bill as well, not only was it doing that, it was also removing a sunset date from the legislation, which what that means is that the Senate, by a certain date, has to debate and either reinstate the legislation or to end it. And so they've removed that. And so what that means now is income management prior to this week always had to be debated and always had to be renewed, and it could have theoretically been removed if there weren't support in the Senate for it. But they've removed that entirely now, which means that income management is permanently ingrained in the Social Security Act, pending somebody removes it. But another third thing that came along with that was the power that already existed with the Social Services Minister to expand the cashless debit card to different areas around the country. They've now given that power within income management. So they've made it permanent. They've transitioned the cashless debit card to take over the cashless debit card model to take over the basics card model. And the minister can, you know, expand it at will, and there's no end date in sight.
So what you're saying is that, it says here that powerful people within communities will be able to request the program with no consent from individuals affected. Who are these powerful people? Are you talking about Indigenous communities?
So in these communities, particularly around the cashless debit card debate, there was a lot of people tied to, you know, the particularly in WA, the with mining interests. Yep. So a lot of those, like the Laverton Shire, for one example, all of these groups, you know, they're backed up by the mining lobbies. So, and they've been very much in favour of the card. So, you know, when it came to Senate submissions, the only people who were promoting these cards were all, you know, conservative leaders within communities. And so what this means is, you know, under the Labor Party's model is that, you know, it's voluntary in the sense that the community decides, not the individual. So what we could see is these old cashless debit card sites being turned into mandatory income management sites because the, you know, more conservative leaders of those communities, the more conservative not-for-profit organisations that operate out of those or non-government operations outside of those communities are calling for it, and not specifically the individuals who will be impacted by this program. So we don't know at this stage, because the government claims to be continuing its consultation, what that will look like or how they will consult, or, you know, how people are going to go onto this program. But theoretically speaking, from how it's operated in the past, is that, you know, you could see communities like Ceduna, the communities in the Goldfields and communities in the Pilbara going back on the card, you know, under a Labor government because of the programs that they themselves have set up.
Right, and, oh, my God, it's so Kafkaesque.
Yeah, it most certainly is. They've intentionally done it this way in order to, you know, basically confuse their voters into believing that they've done the right thing, and so that their voters can now turn around and go, well, you know, the communities want this. But, you know, that's one thing to say, you know, like, what is a community is many things and it's made up of many people. So to say that a community wants this is a blatant lie. So it's going to be interesting, to say the least, how this process actually plays out over the next, you know, 9 to 12 months when and if they begin to make clear how their process is to install this card into the communities. But theoretically, the minister now has the power to expand the card anywhere across the continent if a community deems it necessary.
But they have said that aged pensioners can breathe a sigh of relief because they're not going to be targeted this time.
Yes, they under their campaign as well, they said they called it the pension. Pension cashless card, I can't remember now, but they were intentionally predicating this a campaign on saying that, you know, pensioners would be put onto the card. And so they put in specific legislative requirements to ensure that no pensioner would be put on the card, despite that not being the case under the iterations before. So there was pensioners were never going to be impacted, but they created a fake scare campaign in order to make pensioners think that, in order to win votes from areas where they wanted that, to then put it in the legislation that they wouldn't do that. So it was a very, very cynical, planned deception that the Labor government ran under.
Yeah. I know that this is being a bit ingenuous of me, but why are they so in love with this? What is their problem? Why can't people actually just look after their own pittance?
I think it's just been cultured into the Australian political class at this point. One of the biggest advocates for, the cashless debit card and, now the enhanced income management, campaigning with The Voice, whose name escapes me right now. It has been advocated by certain Indigenous people. It's been advocated by, wealthy mining interests. And it's just this capture of, the political class. And they believe it's a good thing because certain communities ask for it or want it. But also at the same time, I think they're also very scared because, the coalition will whip it up into a frenzy. If they were to remove it, the coalition would obviously run a massive campaign on it.
Yeah,
and that's what they're scared of. They think it'll lose them votes. But, unfortunately, in order to do the right thing, you need a bit of political courage. And I don't think that this government has much political courage when it comes to fighting for the right cause. They're more likely to fight against the right cause in order to cynically think that it's underpinning and emboldening their vote.
Well, the thing about it is that people have voted quite clearly that they don't want the cashless debit card. They don't want mining to completely destroy the environment and a whole range of things. But this seems to be something that they just need a public relations campaign to muddy the waters so that people don't really know that that's what's really going on. Anyway, that's just me being grumpy.
I think it's very fair and understandable for people to be very, very grumpy and upset over this because it was a deceptive campaign that they run on. They lied.
Okay, thanks very much, Jay, for talking to us this morning.
No worries. Thanks for having me on.